Welcome to River's Edge Sermon of the Week. Thanks for joining us today. We're really believing that you'll benefit from the message that you're about to hear. A big thank you to those of you who share our podcast on social media, and thanks for rating and reviewing us on iTunes. For more information about us, please visit riversedgechurch.com.au.
Have you ever wondered, if you want to turn your Bibles, we're going to look at Exodus 15. Have you ever wondered why praise and worship is so important? Like, is God insecure? Does he need us to tell him how great he is again and again and again? Is he a megalomaniac? Is he unsure about who he is? Or is it actually more about what it does for us as human beings, as his creation, honoring him, declaring who he is and what he's done? Because God is God. He is who he says he is forever and ever. And yet we need to praise, we need to worship him, we need to honor him, we need to respect him, we need to fear him, we need to revere him. And we understand there's lots of stuff that if you think about it, that there's a mindfulness thing about thankfulness and gratitude and how important all of those things are. And they are, because we teach our children to be thankful. We teach, that's what we do. We understand that. But when it comes to our relationship with God, we need to be grateful. We need to be thankful. We need to remember who he is. I want a couple of scriptures before we look at Exodus 15. So just keep your Bible open there. But if we look at the next couple of verses that I have on the screen, if you're taking notes, what happens when we praise and when we worship God? 1 Peter chapter 2 says that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Now, these are the same phrases that God says about Israel. And so what we're looking at a series about Exodus, which is a type of who we are in Christ. And God rescues us from Egypt, which is the world, Pharaoh, who Satan is defeated, and we are delivered into this promised land. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you've received mercy. One of the primary purposes of the church is not just to disciple people to faith and in faith, but actually to show forth praises of God, that he is good, that he is glorious, that he is wonderful, because people look at us. Ephesians talks about the fact that it's showing off. We're a trophy of God's grace, and people look at us. Even the demonic powers look at it and go, oh my goodness, that's incredible. Yet as you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Psalm 22 verse 3. There's something about when we praise God, he is enthroned. When you think about it, God doesn't change. His status doesn't change. But in our hearts, he isn't right. When we praise him, when we declare who he is, what he's done, and what he will do, it changes our hearts, and he is enthroned in our life. God has ascended amid shouts of joy. The Lord amid the sound of the sounding of trumpets. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. There's something wonderful about singing and declaring God. God has ascended amidst joy, shouts of joy. Hey, very solemn this morning. But when we praise God, when we shout, when we declare that he is good, does he become more like God? Does he become more God? I wonder if the effect is more for us and our circumstances and our situation. If we go, wow, you're awesome. God, you're fantastic. Even when the light sound thing doesn't work. But what we say probably in our heart, in our mind, goes, God, you're fantastic. You're wonderful. I want to talk this morning. And the title of my message is Get a Praise Phrase. Learn the power of praise before you need it. So if you look at Exodus chapter 15, what's happened? Picture. So what happened for those that just want to look at pictures? Here's what happened. They got out of Egypt. And okay, for those that are students, they're like, hang on, where about this? There are two, maybe three versions of which way they went. Good part is no one really knows except for God and the people that were there. But this is what I think is the route that they took out of Egypt, crossing the Red Sea. And remember last week, Pharaoh's chasing after them with all of his might, like his 600 best chariots and everything else in between. Let's see. Walk out. Moses holds up his staff, probably all night. God blows, opens up. They walk through, and then the waters come down and destroy the Egyptians, and they're free. So that's, if you missed last week, you can listen online about that. That's what happens. If you want to look at the picture or the back of the book, that's what happens as well. But let's pick it up. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. Before you read ahead, this is part of what I think God is trying to say to us as a church at this time. It is for us to move on, to move into the promised land, into what the next season, the next stage, whatever it is that God wants for us as we become more like Jesus and we help others do that. We need to learn the power of praise. We need to learn who God is. And by the way, I mean who God is, what he's done and what he will do. And what happens immediately after this? So the waters come there. Maybe they plundered the Egyptians, whatever was left on the ground. I'm not sure. But what happens after that? Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to God. Here's what I think happened, because there's 2 million people. Some people think they just all suddenly inspirationally knew the song. I think that's rubbish. I don't think that's how God moves. Because we need to be taught to praise. We need to learn how to praise God when everything's awesome, because in the end of this chapter, they're going to need to remember this, what they're just about to say. So Moses, I think, teaches them. Moses is a super educated guy who grew up in Egypt. He's been in parts of different worlds. He's phenomenal. He's fantastic. This stuff's poetry. It's brilliant. It's not stuff of slaves who probably weren't educated. This is Moses. He's like, all right, we need to memorize this thing. We're gonna tell you, I'm gonna teach you a song. Are you ready to sing this song with me? And so he sings this song. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and the rider, he has hurled into the sea. Shall I change the microphone or? We'll see how we go. Who are the horses? This Pharaoh and the people that were following them. They're cast into the sea and they're going to sing and worship God. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Because he rescued them from their slavery, from 400 years of them actually being slaves and their children being slaves and their children being slave and their children's children's children being slave. And the most you could ever hope for was to be a slave. God has rescued. Now, here's the thing. What does this mean for you and I? God has rescued you from your sin, from your slavery to sin, from Satan who was over your dominion, and now you're rescued. He's part of the prophets. It's a disciple of Satan walking through there to distract you. When actually you should. This is my big little brother, in case you haven't met him or people watching online. How can you talk about this guy? Let's come say the scriptures, people. Come on. He is my God and I will praise him. My Father's God and I will exalt him. Moses teaches them this story and this thing, but includes the personal aspects of it. So he says, he is my Father's God. You know, when God tries to capture Moses' attention, he has a burning bush that doesn't, and he goes there and says, wow, this is infinite. God calls to him and he says, I am your Father's God, the God of Abraham, Isaac. Here's what I think is powerful in that story. Yes, he was a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But in Moses' story, there's no father mentioned. There's his sister and his brother and his mother. Where is the father figure? It's very absent the whole story. But God says to him, I know you. I'm going to give you identity. And so when Moses sees this story, this is, I think, his personal part of this. The Lord is a warrior. Because he's fighting for them, delivering them. I'm telling you, in your situation, in your the song that you need to sing over your life, the Lord is a warrior. Whatever you're going through right now, the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Why is that significant? Because everything else before was God. God. God created the heavens and the earth. God did this. And when he appears to Moses, because Moses is like, who should I say he's going to say? Because the Lord. Which means I am that I am. It's so very hard to define, but actually understand who God is. They have a revelation and an understanding of who he is. And so when we sing theology. We sing who he is. It's not an abstract thing as much as it is who he is for us. Pharaoh's chariots and his army, he is hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. Deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. Which is important because God says, with my right hand, I will deliver you. Pharaoh will know my right hand. I will do this. And so they're declaring what God has done. So what does that mean for us? We need to understand, what has God done for you? This is their song that he's teaching them and then they're singing. Verse 7. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. Okay, this is poetry and it's a bit weird. But see how easy it is for God. Like he's done. But that's the idea, that this is the world power. And God goes, the waters parted. You need to see this. It's like, wow, God's incomparable to whoever this enemy is. The surging waters stood up like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of... Some of you are like, who cares? It's poetry. Well, being an English teacher, I'm going, this is magic. This is amazing. Well, it's not magic. It's awesome. It's a picture. You could say God did good things. God did great things. God blew his nostrils and the water stood up like thing and they congealed. They stood silent and we walked through on dry ground. That's so much more. That's wonderful. That's where you're like, that's incredible. The surging water stood still up like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, I will pursue, I will overtake them, I will divide the spoils, I will gorge myself on them, I will draw my sword, with my hand will destroy them. But you blew with your breath, and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Then this is this beautiful phrase. Questions that I think we should ask ourselves. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness. Awesome in glory. Working wonders. Who is like you? And so they're singing this song about the victory they've had. And in the middle of it, they're like, there's no one like you. Who is like you? You stretch out your right hand and the earth swallows your enemies. In your unfailing love, you lead the people you've redeemed. See, you see God's strength, but you also see his love. that he's strong, but he's also loving and he's coming alongside. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. And I'm telling you today, in God's strength, he will guide you into the future that you have. Here's where this story shifts. Here's where the song gets a bigger backbeat, I think. This is where it crescendo. We were seeing this live. This is where all the instruments are going, where they turn it up, and it's like, because what they're going to do next is sing prophetically into the future of what's happening over this situation. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chief of Edoms will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall on them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as a stone until your people pass by, Lord, until the people you brought pass by. You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, Lord, your hands established. So what does that actually mean? Like, does God want to just destroy things? This is a type of the enemies that will come against you, that God has defeated, the demonic forces, all that type of stuff, that you can actually, like, God is wanting to actually bring victory in the situation. This is a part of the singing that I think is on. The Lord reigns forever and ever. And whatever you're facing right now, whatever family situation, whatever family battle, whatever health battle, whatever thing is there, you can still sing these words. The Lord reigns forever and ever and ever. The Lord reigns forever and ever and ever. The Lord reigns forever and ever and ever. The Lord reigns. There's something powerful about declaring it over your situation. What's happened so far? Well, they've walked through on dry land. They've plundered the Egyptians. They've had some phenomenal things happen. There's going to be some massive battles that they're going to face them. They're going to run out of water at the end of this chapter. But they need to learn to praise in the high point for the valleys that are coming. They need to be able to declare that the Lord reigns forever and ever. So here's some things I think we could actually learn from this. Why should we praise God? Number one, I think you need to sing your theology. Because here's what I've known from doing this for 15 years. You will only remember an illustration or a funny story. You won't remember the deep theology that I'm trying to teach you. No, you will, but you won't go, oh, remember that sermon where you said this and then did it? No, you don't. Because that's who we are as humans. We're just not going to go, oh, I don't remember. Unless you're very skilled and you're one of these really weird people and you just remember everything. God bless you. Amazing. You don't. You know phrases, you know ideas. And so that's why I think Moses is like, all right, I know people, we're going to sing this. Before we go anywhere, people, we're going to sing a song. We're going to teach you a song. Sing to the Lord, for he's good. He's highly exalted. The horse and the rider is cast into the sea. And he's going to sing, like, we're going to sing, like, everyone, like, oh, it would have taken a while. And so he's trying to teach them theology. That's why singing is so important. That's why we worship. That's why we do it. And that's why it's so important to sing good songs, because we understand who he is. We see like a different aspect of God's personality and who he is. He doesn't change, but we begin to see things and go, oh, he is. Singing gives voice to what God has done. I don't know if you've seen this, the pattern in Scripture, God does something phenomenal and people sing about it. So we see here in this story, when Deborah and Barak, in the book of Judges, they defeat it, they sing a song. When David has multiple victories and losses and all of this stuff, he sings a song. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Isaiah is full of songs about what God would do when they come out of the exile. And God sent his son into the world. Some angels messaged people and said, he's here. Well, they sang. They sang. People sang when Mary knew that she was going to give birth to Jesus. She sang. It's a response to what God has done over and over and over again. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs of gratitude in your heart. In the book of Revelation, they sing over and they sing songs, worthy is the Lamb. They sing holy, holy, holy. I'm telling you, if you don't like singing, you better get used to it, because you're going to be singing for a long time as we understand who God is and be captivated by his beauty, by his grace, by his majesty. So I'm telling you, you need to sing. I'm telling you, I'm going to encourage you to sing today before the difficult moment comes. Learn to sing in this environment. Learn to appreciate who God is, so when it push comes to shove, you can go. Because it reminds you of his victory. You're reminded of what God has done. This what they did was like, okay, God has done something great. We need to do this. All right, let's sing. And they sing that song. And I think the challenge is that we are prone to forget what God has done in our life. Even though maybe God's done something incredible, mind-blowing. But given time and circumstance and other stuff, that will fade from your heart and from your mind, unless you foster it and keep it there. That's why singing is one of the great ways to do it. Your testimony is powerful. So this is what happens in the end of this chapter is a test. They get to these waters. But we all go through testing times, whether you like it or not. Jesus said, deliver us from evil, do not lead us into the time of testing. But there are times and moments where we're all tested. And in that moment, who we are, not testing in pass or fail, but who you really are. That's what's happening. Like, are you how genuine you are, how real are you? Are you actually, what else can we do in terms of your who Jesus is and what he's like in your life? God is doing something to take away some of the stuff that is just inadequate and unhelpful. All right, that's what's happening. And in those moments of singing, you can capture what's happening in that time. What I love about the book of Psalms is that someone went through something that I like, oh, that's exactly what I'm thinking or feeling right now. Because sometimes you're going through stuff and you go, don't understand. Okay, God, what are you saying? What are you doing? What's happening for me? But when I find a familiar voice, it's like, oh, that's it. That's exactly what's happening for me. And I remember I was going through a really challenging time. I've shared this story before, but I don't need to know all the circumstances. But the challenging was like, I don't know what to say or how to pray. And then there was this great song, God, I Look to You. I said, write down, God, I Look to You. You're where my help comes from. Give me vision to see things like it. God, I Look to You. And the chorus part, Lord, I love you, Lord, my strength. Lord, I love you, Lord, my rock. I remember just singing that song over and over again. You've got a song like that where you go, oh, that's what I need. That's how I should pray. That's what my spirit's saying. God, this is what I'm thinking and feeling right now. But you know what they also do at the end that I think is so powerful is the prophetic praise, where they focus on promises of, this is where I want to encourage you, church, to get some fight and seeing about what God is going to do. This is harder. This is a challenge. You're good at the past. God has done great things in the past, but to seeing what he will do, what he what he will, what he's promised to your heart. That's what they do. Our enemies will be destroyed and we're going to be established in the land that God has for me. That's really what they're saying in like 12 verses. That sounds really dumb, doesn't it? But what they said was beautiful, amazing, and prophetic, and inspiring. And everyone's like, yes. What could it be that you see, say, there's something powerful about declaring who God is over your life. Just declaring, God, you're at work in my life. I want to see this happen. I know that you're going to do this. I believe that you're going to be about this. That something that shifts from complaining to, God, you are at work. You're going to do this. I believe this. I speak this out. I sing this out. And that sounds really strange, doesn't it? But we're not of this world. We live by faith and not by sight. And so this is the thing that we need to learn to do. So how do you do this? Like, that's the whole idea. But if we go to the next thing, I think Moses' older sister is a pretty smart lady. Moses is super educated, but I think Miriam's just, she's pretty switched on. I think what she decides to do is like, you know what? He's onto something here. He's teaching them stuff. They're going to sing this stuff. But you know what they need? They need a praise phrase. Because that's just the whole thing, man. There's like 20 verses. That's just way too long. So I'm on to the next thing. I need something shorter, punchier. That's what I need. Because that's what you do need. When it's really hard, when you don't even know the whole verse of the song, whatever it is, you need a praise phrase. When you're sitting there and you've got devastating news, when you're about to go into a situation where you think, I'm full of fear and anxiety about what's like going, where are you, God? What's happening here? You need a phrase. You need a phrase. The Bible's amazing, but you need a phrase that's going to bring faith and you can sing it and speak it into that situation and circumstance. And so, when Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them, but the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. So we finished the song. We're just in case you miss what happened, because this is important. Then Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her with timbrels and dancing, and Miriam sang to them. Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. With horse and driver, he is hurled into the sea. And you sit there and go, what's going on? So for you and I read this and go, okay, that's wonderful. I would have picked a better verse, but anyway, that's a nice one. The hurled into the sea. Where does this come from? She rips off the first four lines of Moses' song, just for credit. She doesn't come up with it. She changes it slightly. It's not I will sing, it's sing to the Lord. For he is highly exalted, the horse and the driver. He is hurled into the sea. Because that was the biggest issue and problem that they had ever seen. We need to go back in time and go, okay, what just happened? The world power is coming. And then when they're coming at you. And you're walking through going, I've been following this. I don't know. It's just, this is weird. There's a pillar of fire. Yes, it's all that there. But it's like, and then suddenly, biggest miracle they have ever seen in their life, they're delivered. And so the Lord, for he is highly exalted, the horse and the driver, he is into the sea. That's, what has God done for you? So maybe your phrase won't be the horse and the driver. But your sickness, your sin, he's taken away from you.
Well, what is it that he has done for you that you will go,
he's awesome. I want to sing this. I want to know this. I want to declare this over my situation and my circumstances.
You know what they do? This is powerful. Because you're all sitting there going, there's 2 million people here. Moses has taught them it would have taken forever to do all how many verses there are. He's just like, listen, they don't need all of this. They just need a praise phrase. All right? You're like, where's the atmosphere? This is what she's got.
Let's sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and the driver, he is cast into the sea. Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and the driver, he is hurled into the sea.
See, you're going to go home singing that. You are. What about all the other verses? It's time researching and studying them and telling you and all of that stuff. It's in the middle of the night, in your darkest valley, wherever it is, you don't need all of that. It's helpful. It's, don't get me wrong, it's awesome. But you need to learn it on the mountaintop, in the great thing where God has done something. So in the middle of the valley, you can get your tambourine out.
Things you don't want. He's high, it's all.
So you were like, yeah, I got this. I know this thing.
You need to learn how to do this. It isn't something that you're born with.
You don't go, oh, yeah, God's good. God's great. Woo!
You need to learn to do this. Like Moses taught them. And so Miriam gets up. And she's like, and all the women there, and it's just, there's no great atmosphere.
Tambourine, one tambourine. Maybe there's more people, I don't know. But they're just...
They make it memorable. They start moving, dancing. Why? Because they're excited. They're pumped.
They're like, we just, oh, yes.
And this song they learned and they remembered. I want to encourage you today, whatever you're going through, you need a praise phrase. You need to remember something. One of the band come, if you can just hold on to what God is doing and saying, you don't need all of that. But What if we could encourage one another to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, it says in Colossians 3.
She was 90 when she cracked out the tambourine. Some of you, like, God's got something for you to encourage someone else with. It may not be for you, but Miriam knows enough. There's like, everyone needs to hear this song. They need to remember.
I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. All my sin and my failure, he has taken away from me. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. All my sin and my failure, he has taken away from me. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. All my sin and my failure, he has taken away from me. I will sing to the Lord, for he all my sin and my failure, he has taken away from me. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. All my sin and my sickness, he has taken away from me.
Hey, why don't we stand this morning? I'm telling you, just need to learn to worship him on that mountaintop. You just need to see I love you. I want to remember what you've done. I don't know what your praise phrase is, but you need to find something, a phrase. It could be a song from the 70s. I don't care. Make up your own one. I've copied that one, so it's okay, but you can sing my one if you need something to the God is good, that he is at work in your life. So whatever your battle that you're facing, whatever Goliath that you see in your life, you can be like, out in front of everyone, in your heart to the Lord, that he is good, he's at work, he's going to do something. God's not finished. He's not finished. So let's take a moment. I'm going to hand over to the team. They're sing joy, because we're going to worship. We're going to praise him. You can borrow my if you want. Whatever it is, you might dance. I don't care. You need to learn how to do it in this moment. So wherever you are, you can sing it in that moment.
Thank you for listening to River's Edge Sermon of the Week. For more information about us, please visit riversedgechurch.com.au.